Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's risen from the dead and He is Lord. He is Lord. Now see, Brenda didn't have a clue what I'm going to preach about today, but I'm going to preach about Jesus being Lord. We see the Holy Spirit does. And He speak to me and to Leonard and to Brenda and all of you. And the Lord has a way of doing that. We're glad you're in the Lord's house today. And we pray that the Spirit of God just blesses you and speaks to you and says to you what you need to hear. And we just pray that not only will we hear with our physical ears, but with our spiritual ears. And we welcome you today. We welcome those that might be listening to the webcast later in the day. And we pray that each person that worships with us, either way, is blessed as we seek the Lord. May we pray. Oh, Father, how we rejoice to know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow to proclaim that He is Lord. Not only He is, but He always will be. Yes, Jesus, You are Lord, and we worship You. We honor You. We praise You. We welcome You into this service, not just to come and sit on a pew, but to come and be Lord of the service. Speak through what's sung, what's prayed, what's preached. And Lord, we want to hear from You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Good to have you with us this morning. And we welcome all of you and also those on the webcast and those listening to the radio as well this morning with the service on the radio. Let's begin with our hymn sing this morning. Our hymn sing pays trust and obey. Let's do 1, 2, and 4 and trust and obey as we stand and sing, please.
When we walk
said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time. Today we will have a call conference at the end of the service today. The call conference will be to approve the budget for 2021. So you all stay for that, please. While we're talking about conferences, we will also have we're going to schedule a call conference again for next Sunday. Next Sunday we will be asking you to approve a new member of the stewardship committee. And so we'll have that person ready for you to approve. And also we want you to approve we're going to be asking you to approve unused money in our budget for a different line item, and that is to help those in need. There's some budget money that we have in the budget that due to COVID we have not used. The Christmas music, and I can go on and on, but there's an amount there that we'd like to use, and we'd like to be able to help Lionel with this program over here. And so that's what we're going to be asking you to do for the West Stanley Christian Ministries. But we want to work with you on the line item, and we ask that you approve that money that we'll ask that you spend, okay? Good news is that we sent 64 boxes, shoe boxes, to Samaritan's Purse. I thought that is wonderful, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Another good thing, another good praise report to give you in announcements is that we are now up to $2,195 for the Baptist Children's Home. That's a great amount, too. That's that. And as the old fella says, we ain't done yet. So you all hang in there. We're not done yet. So that's wonderful. Now, over here again, we continue on and on with God blessing us that we're returning God's gifts to people in need. Pam is working still with the pajamas that needs for the nursing home in Mount Pleasant. So there's some names and some cards down here at front. If you have not helped yet and you want to do that, just pick you up a name there and see Miss Pam, and you can go from there, okay? And I think, Pam, is there anything you want to add to that?
Those are the names of the people who've already signed up.
These are the names of the people who already signed up. Excuse me. Okay. I'm sorry, I had that wrong. I was thinking that was one you needed. Okay, so there's still a need there. You don't have the amount yet, the total amount yet, but you need 60, around 60, right?
Well, if we do for everybody, so far I have 24 names because that's how many people have signed up.
So we got 24 so far.
More if we need them.
It's still a great blessing. Yes, so you all continue on. All right, continue. We were also going to continue on with the sanctuary service as usual. Next Sunday, Wednesday evening, will be at 6:30. And that's all the announcements that I have at this time. Have I missed anything? Okay. Let's go to our prayer request, and I have many to share with you this morning that I have been asked to remember this morning. Let's remember Stacy. She's still convalescent. She's doing much better, but she's still not as strong as she'd like to be. Let's remember the Keith Henson family. Keith passed away. Jeff Kay, I had a report on him this morning, and they have moved him back to the cardiac ward due to the infection that he has. And they're saying that he could be in the hospital for as much as 3 days more, as he's going to be there for observation. He's where he needs to be and while they're working with this. So keep Jeff Kay and Lori in your prayers, please. Let's remember Jeff's mother. She's still taking cancer treatments, and Vivian Austin just had a hip replacement, and she's doing better, I believe, Kenny. And but we need to remember. I'm sorry.
I visited with them yesterday,
and
she's doing well.
Okay, good. That's a good praise report. I want to remember Jane Hunsucker. She's an associate of mine. She's experiencing cancer, breast cancer, and I like to lift her up in the name of the Lord. Nicole Johnson, I remember her. That's her. There's some praise reports, and then Sheila Barton. I hope I pronounced that right. Bolton, Miss Bolton. Let's remember Sheila Bolton. And I got to thinking this week about the shut-ins that really we don't see each week anymore, and I miss them. And I sat down and I made this list, and I hope I didn't miss anybody. Shirley, I even got you on this list, but I see you back there this morning, so praise the Lord. But I've got Marie Burris, Christine Sasser, Miss Nell Jackman, Aunt Bertie, Pat Burgess, Dane and Sue Barbie, Angela and Anna Frick, Shirley Edwards, as I said, Don Whitley and Cynthia Yao. Those are the ones that I can just look around and miss this morning. And I know, I hope and pray I haven't missed anyone. But if I have, tell me. But those are the ones that I haven't seen due to the COVID virus and due to other sicknesses. And also due to the nursing home in Marie's case. Let's pray for these people. Let's lift them up before the Lord and do that, okay? Let's continue to work. Let's pray for the workers in the nursing homes and all the medical workers that are on the front line each and every week. Pray for our nation. Betty gave me a praise report for Bryson Martin this morning, and I thought that was wonderful. Bryson, the update, he had his last treatment, Betty, and Betty tells me it didn't make him sick for the first time. And now he's talking and feeling better and stronger. God bless. I'm so proud.
Yeah. He had sent a picture for everyone to see how much better he is, and he was one of the therapy dogs.
Yeah.
And they had handprints. He had the dog and they had handprints to put it on the paper that we are all better now.
That's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. God bless. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And the doctor said, I can't explain why he's not been sick this week because he had not been, he had all his treatments and had not been sick after either.
Yeah.
I said, well, if I'd have been there, I could have told
him. You wouldn't have any problem. You wouldn't have your problem enlightening him a bit, would you? Okay.
And Lindsay and Glenda both have talked to me, and they said, please tell everybody how much we appreciate their prayers, and please to continue.
All right. Now, have I missed anyone or anyone? Have you one thing you want to add, anyone to the prayer list this morning?
Leonard.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, what now?
I put my nephew Larry Coley.
Larry Coley, okay.
Well, he'll be having catheterization on Thursday.
Okay. Okay, anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Our Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for a time of prayer. And Lord, we're glad that we can come to you anytime, day or night. But Lord, we're using this time this morning to be specific and give you some specific needs. And you've asked us to do that. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've already given us. And thank you for the praise reports that I've been able to report. But then, Lord, there are needs that we need to lift up for you, Lord. So let me do that at this point. Lord, we pray for Stacy. We continue to pray for her and lift her up. We pray for the Keith Henson family as they've lost a dear loved one. Jeff Kay, who's in the hospital, Lord, we lift him up to you this morning, special Lord, that you'll touch his body. We pray for healing for him. And we pray for Lori, who is the caregiver and near his side. We pray for her and lift her up to you today. Praise. Then Jeff's mother, Lord, we pray for her as she goes through cancer treatments. The praise report for Vivian Austin, Lord, but we know there's convalescing times that has to be had, and we pray for her and pray for those taking care of her. We pray, Lord, for Jane Hunsucker and as she battles cancer, for Nicole Johnson, and then, Lord, for Sheila Bolton. And then, Lord, we lift up these people who are shut-ins from us, Lord, that we haven't seen. But we lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray for them. We pray for Marie Burris, for Christine Sasser. We pray for Neil Jackham and Aunt Bertie, for Pat Burgess, for Dane and Sue Barbie, for Anna and Angela Frick. We pray for Shirley Edwards, for Don Whitley and Cynthia Yao. Lord, we pray for them and give them comfort. We let them know, Lord, and down deeper in their heart that we love them and we miss them. And we pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for the praise report for Bryce and Martin this morning. We thank you for touching his body and giving him strength and giving him encouragement, we pray. We lift up our nation to you, Lord, as we continue to battle this horrible, horrible virus, but we lift and know you're in control, and we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And then, Lord, as we look back and think about where we've been and where we've come, we thank you, Lord, for your guidance and for your strength. Go with us now, Lord, for further continuation of the service today. We pray for Pastor Ed as he will be coming before us today. We thank you for all the support we've had, Lord, in this service today. And now, Lord, we pray, Lord, these blessings in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our praise song for this morning is a prayer. And it really is a prayer. People call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's the model prayer. God gave it to the disciples and to the people to as a model to pray. I want us to stand and sing this morning the Lord's Prayer. It's in the book. It's 462. It'll be on the board as well. And let's pray the Lord's Prayer as our song of praise this morning.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come,
what I feel like doing except hollering. Whew. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Gary, I'm going to try to get myself under control here. Gary, I'm going to do something this morning that I do rarely, and that is I'm going to sing in this special slot this morning for the choir, where the choir would normally sing. And I hope when I'm finished that Gary will say, well, I sure missed the choir. But I'm it's something like you would say.
I might say it.
Gary's a... I do too, Ann. I miss the choir so much. But Gary's got a favorite song, and he asked me about singing, and I said, well, sure, we'll do it. It's called Beulah Land, Sweet Beulah Land. And Gary, this is for you and anybody else that likes Beulah Land. I think most people do. Sweet Beulah Land. Brenda, if you would, please.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I am longing for just a few more days to labor, then I will take my final flight.
This song is made to do a cappella. We'll sing that verse and I got a chorus, and let's do a cappella chorus of Beulah Land. Sing with me now, a cappella.
Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and
thank you, Leonard, so much. And you know, as we sing that, I pray that everybody that's not only here in the building, but also that's listening, whether by radio or whether on the webcast, is also hearing and believing and has their reservation for that place that we call heaven. And if not, I pray that before we finish today that you'll give your heart and life to Jesus. When you walked the aisle, however many years ago it was, and told the pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ and be a Christian, did you take out fire insurance? Or did you surrender your life totally to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Amen.
Let me say it again. When you walked the aisle and told the pastor that you wanted to be a Christian, did you take out fire insurance? Or did you surrender your life totally to the Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Strange question, but a very important question. I don't know very many people that want to spend an eternity in hell. If they even think about the horrors of the suffering, they don't want to go there. And so over the years, many people have walked the aisle of a church or of a revival meeting somewhere under a tent and said, I want to accept Jesus. But all that was on their mind was, I want some fire insurance. They had no intention of truly surrendering their life to Jesus. Now, the New Testament believers knew exactly what they were getting at, what decision they were making. You remember in Acts 2, where Peter preached that marvelous sermon on the day of Pentecost, he concludes it by saying in verse 36, Acts 2, 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly," in other words, don't miss it, "that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He said, I want you not to miss this. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. Jesus, the earthly name. Jesus, meaning Savior. Christ is the same as Messiah, God's promised deliverer, the one who'd come to save and to deliver his people. But Lord, meaning God, King, Master, Ruler, Lord of our lives. Amen. And dozens of times throughout the New Testament, I thought I'd just look up and find two or three and read them to you, but when I pulled out my concordance, there's a great long list of times where it says something like, the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord, or Christ Jesus the Lord. They put all three together over and over and over again to remind us that this earthly Jesus was both our Messiah, our Christ, and our Lord. Now, you know, some cultures, the people worship hundreds and maybe even thousands of gods and goddesses. And in some places, the missionaries have gone, introduced Jesus, and the people said, oh yes, we will believe in Jesus. And the missionaries sort of chalked it up as another salvation. And then they would go back weeks later, months later, years later, and find out that instead of surrendering their life to Jesus, all these people have done is added Jesus to all the other gods and goddesses they worshiped. Sort of like, you know, some families, some, you go into the house and they got the picture of all the kids and the grandkids, you know, and one more's born, we just add another one, another picture. They had a lot of gods and goddesses and they just added Jesus. But it was not that way in the New Testament. You remember there where Paul talks about those people who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they brought thousands and tens of thousands of dollars worth of satanic paraphernalia, witchcraft stuff, idol stuff, and they made a fire. They burned it all because they were making a commitment. Jesus Christ is Lord, and those gods and goddesses we used to worship are nothing. They don't matter. We reject them. We refuse them. Jesus is Lord. Now also in that day, Roman citizens were required to go before some magistrate once a year and burn a pinch of incense and make an affirmation. Caesar is Lord. And that was your proof of citizenship. That was your proof of devotion to the Caesar in Rome. And these early Christians faced persecution because they wouldn't do it. They said, Caesar is not our Lord. We have only one Lord, and it's Jesus. And because of that, we refuse to do that. Now, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? If Jesus is not your Lord, you can pretty much live as you please. And you know, Sometimes, I mean, I believe the Baptist doctrine that if you really get saved, you're saved forever. But sometimes I'm not sure that we have done people any favor by preaching that. Because there are thousands of people that have walked an aisle, said, I give my life and my heart to Jesus, and then they have no intention of doing anything but having fire insurance. And they're going to go live as they please. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, I walked an aisle at some point. Some preacher put me in a baptistry. And I'm good to go no matter how I live. And so they go out and they live an ungodly life. They think it's good. I'm a member down there at the church. I'm good to go. But do they really know Jesus? Are they really saved? They base their thoughts on that one experience, which may or may not have been valid. They think, I can live as I please, once saved, always saved. I got saved back then, and I can live as I please, and it doesn't matter. And some of them, you know, I know, I was thinking about it this morning, there's all kind of categories. There's the one group, they come and they make that decision, they get baptized, they don't ever see them again. And then you have those that come and you see them occasionally. And then you have some that come and you see them every Sunday. But their religion, their following Christ is related to Sunday. I still have this vivid picture of talking to a young man in his 40s about why he didn't bring his family, his young kids, and his wife and come to church. He said, Preacher, if you knew which of your church leaders were at the place I go on Saturday night, you would be ashamed and appalled and disgusted. He never would give me the names. I can suspect. But there are people who walk the aisle and go to church every Sunday, and yet the other 6.5 days, they live like they please. You see, if Jesus is Lord of my life, everything he said, I believe. Everything he tells me to do, I'm going to try to do. Every example he set, I'm going to try to follow. If Jesus is Lord of my life, it's going to affect the way I live on Sunday. It's going to affect the way I use my finances. It's going to affect the way I treat others. If Jesus is Lord of my life, I don't have the liberty of holding grudges and unforgivenesses. If Jesus is Lord of my life, I don't have the liberty of harboring sin in my life. If Jesus is Lord of my life, I'm going to forgive. If Jesus is Lord of my life, it's going to affect the way I minister to others. If Jesus is Lord of my life, it's going to affect whether I obey any suggestion he gives me or not. Everything's going to revolve around Jesus. Now, I know it's not possible. But if I could get Scotty on Star Trek to come in here and say, zap us up, beam us all up to heaven right now. And he could push that little button and we'd all go zoop. And we're standing over in the corner of heaven. And there's Jesus sitting on the throne. All of his glory. And the angels are walking around saying, praise you, holy, holy, holy. And we're watching this and we're in awe. And suddenly Jesus beckons to an angel. And he says to this angel, I want you to go down to earth and I want you to go to such and such a person, such and such a place and do this. And the angel says, not happening today. That doesn't fit my plans for today. That costs too much. That's too much trouble. You know, that's not what's going to happen. The minute Jesus finishes giving those orders, that angel's going out the door. He's turning those wings into warp speed. And he's going to do exactly what Jesus asked him to do, because he feels honored and blessed that his master, his Lord, would give him an assignment. Should we not feel the same way? Should we not be as quick to obey if Jesus is Lord of our life? We know that the angels are going to do it. And they haven't even been redeemed from sin and hell like you and I have. Should we not be just as quick to obey our Lord? Is he really Lord of our life? Now, let's understand something. You know, there are Bible scholars, and I could point out some articles that say there is no such thing as fire insurance. So either Jesus is your Lord and Savior, or he's not anything to you. I'm not going to debate that. I'm glad that in the final judgment, the Lord is going to sort out the saved and the unsaved. But I know this, Jesus wants to be Lord of our life. Now, making Jesus Lord of your life is a one-time decision that's followed up by many more decisions. Now, I'm going to talk about me because I can't talk about you. When I walked the aisle, and I was sitting just about where Miss Ann's sitting, at West Albemarle Baptist Church, and I walked the aisle and I told our interim pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I was just turned 9 years old. I didn't know a lot about what making Jesus Lord of my life meant. I mean, what does a 9-year-old know? A little bit. But as best I knew how, I wanted Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. But immediately other decisions began to follow. For one, I went to church on Wednesday nights. Mom had to stay home with my little brothers. I walked. It wasn't terribly far. Today you don't let 9-year-olds out walking after dark. But back then it didn't matter. It was relatively safe. But Jesus being Lord of my life, I felt that I needed to be in church on Wednesday night prayer meeting. It was important. Other kids were maybe doing other things, but I needed to be there. Another decision I made, do I cheat in school? I mean, after all, I'm sitting, you know, about this close to the person beside me. I can look over on your paper if I wanted to. I can pull my hand back and let you look on my paper if I want to. Do I cheat or not cheat? If Jesus is Lord of my life, I'm not going to cheat. That's a child's decision, but a child's decision to make Jesus Lord. When it came time to start dating, I had to make the decision. Am I going to seek a godly woman for my wife? Now, Pam says the last time I told this, I messed it up. I'm going to try to do better this time. There came a time, when I knew I was called to the ministry. I was about 17 or so. And somehow I started getting this word that this certain girl in my school, because she was a minister's daughter, would make an excellent preacher's wife.
And that's the one that the Lord had for me to marry. Trouble was, I didn't like her looks and I didn't like her attitude. But finally, I remember coming to a decision, Lord, I don't like this girl's looks. I don't like her attitude. But if that's the one you've chosen for me, I'm all in. Once I made the decision that Jesus was going to be Lord, he never asked me to date her. I never asked her for a date. I never went out with her. But it was a decision, is Jesus going to be Lord of your life when it comes to your dates? Now, the wonderful thing is, just a couple of months later, the Lord introduced me to a young lady that was beautiful, sweet, loved Jesus with all her heart, said yes when I asked her a date, said yes when I asked her to marry me, and has been a great preacher's wife for the next 50-some years. You know, but the point is, as a 9-year-old, I said, I want Jesus, Lord of my life. But then I came to the point where I said, that includes who I date and who I marry. Along about that same time, it included what I did with my life. I began to feel the Lord calling me to the ministry. When suddenly there was a man who ran a produce operation in another place in the county. And he came to me and he said, I like what you do. I've noticed what you do over at the Big Oak. I want to hire you. Well, you know, Dad only paid in groceries and a few dollars at the cash register if I wanted to go for a date. This guy was going to pay real money. And I had a decision to make. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm only in the 11th grade. He said, oh, I thought you were a lot older than that. I could have dropped out of school and gone to work for him, but that was not God's will. If Jesus is Lord, I've got something else to do. He said, well, come back whenever. Let me know when you graduate. The job's still yours. I still had a decision. But then again, about the same time I graduated, I said, Dad, God's called me to the ministry and I'm going to college. Now, our family was not college folks. Mom and Dad dropped out of school. I don't know of any aunts and uncles on my dad's side that went to college. Grandparents who went to college. Mom had a couple of sisters that went to college, but most of them didn't. And all of a sudden, I'm talking about going to college. And I remember my dad said, no, that wasn't my plan. He said, I've been negotiating to buy another store and another place in Albemarle and open up a second branch of the Big Oak and you managing the other branch. I said, God's called me to preach. I'm going to college. Now, I wasn't disrespectful to my dad. I didn't dishonor him. We had a peaceful discussion. But Jesus had to be Lord of my life when it came to what I chose to do. Now, see, I'm talking about me because I can't talk about you. But it was a one-time decision as a 9-year-old that over the years has flowed in multiple decisions. Is Jesus still Lord of my life? And it's the same with you. Those New Testament Christians knew Jesus as Lord. They weren't worried about fire insurance. They were bowed before King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory. Amen. And everything came from that decision. And if the Holy Spirit said to Philip, you go to Samaria and preach, Philip went. Holy Spirit said, Philip, you go down to Gaza. I got an assignment for you down there. And Philip says, hey, that's the desert. But you said go, so I'm going. Holy Spirit said to Peter, you go talk to these Gentiles. I know it's not the way you Jews usually do things, but you go preach to these Gentiles. Peter said, okay. Now, there was not always obedience without some questions. Are you sure, Lord, this is what you want me to do? And I don't want to imply that for myself, I've been perfect. I guess if you could figure a straight line of God's will for me, there's been sometimes I've been on one side, sometimes I've been on another, but the desire of my heart is to walk that line for Jesus to be Lord. And I pray that that's your desire. If we come to the Lord with the idea, I want just enough of Jesus to get into heaven, but I don't want him telling me what to do, I don't want him running my life, I'm not sure about the day of judgment. Is he Lord of our life? There's all kinds of scriptures that I could read, but I'm just going to read two things that Jesus said from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 10, beginning at verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And then over in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his works. And if I remember correctly, in Luke's version of verse 24, it says, take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. When you walk the aisle, did you take out fire insurance or surrender your life to the absolute Lord of the universe? It's the most important question you'll ever answer. Eternity depends upon us surrendering our life to Jesus as Lord. And I'm pretty sure most of you in here have. But there may be somebody that's here that's not, or maybe somebody that's listening, either on the radio or on the webcast. Jesus loves you so much, he died for you. He wants to be your Lord. And when he is your Lord, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. He has good things for you. I don't want this to come across as, oh no, if Jesus, the Lord of my life, he may send me to deepest, darkest Africa. Well, he may, but you'll be happy when you get there. You'll be blessed when you get there. Whatever Jesus has for you is good. Father, as we bow before you today, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I thank you that we can bow before him and know that he has good, awesome, wonderful plans for our lives. And Lord Jesus, if there's any person that's listening to me today that just took out a fire insurance policy that's worthless. Father, may they today surrender to Jesus as Lord and know the assurance that one day they will step into Beulah land and fall at your feet and say, I love you, Lord. I've been loving you for all of my life, and I'm going to love you for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.